It's a stage of life. My wife and I have children now, 44 down to 34. And the question is, will your children and your grandchildren, will your grandchild be baptized in a Baptist church? Does that matter to you? That matters to me. What I believe on purpose, and I want them to embrace the same thing. I'm for them. And whatever I can do to help that. So here in Proverbs 2, there's a verse, and here's our prayer. Here's the parent prayer for my children, my grandchildren. Here's what I would say to them. You know, the Bible's full of summary statements. In Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O God, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to love mercy and do justly and walk humbly with thy God. Another place it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man on the earth, right? Ecclesiastes. There are summary statements. But if Brother Aaron's on his deathbed and his sons and daughters are by his side, and he's going to say the last words as he commends them. Paul said to Ephesians there in Acts 20, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, you know, right? I mean, what do you say to kids if you were going to say, what I want for you is, go with the Bible, follow God, fear God, love him, obey him, right? You're going to say something like that to a future generation. Here in Proverbs 2, look what he says. Here's the challenge. Verse 1, it starts out with, my son. And verse 20, it says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. I mean, wouldn't that be a joy if you could say, my children are walking in the way of good men and keeping the paths of the righteous, right? Is that a laudable goal? I'm not being funny. I'm saying, hey, I want this for my kids. So if you start with my son, and then he has all these verses in between, and then the conclusion is, why do I tell you this? So you'll walk in the way of good men, and you'll keep the paths of the upright, because God's keeping the books. God, it says, the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So that makes what's in the center of the chapter very important. Every parent ought to look at this and say, wow, wow. If he's talking to sons and he says these things, these are the divine imperatives, and then he says, why? Because I want you to walk in the way of good men and I want you to keep the paths of the upright. Let's look at those verses. Verse 1 of Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, let's just pause here. Twice in the first six verses, he mentions keeping the commandments. Do you believe it's important that they understand we want this Bible to guide your life? My son, look, it's the Word of God. It's a big deal. A lot of times, if I'm doing a school chapel, I'll take a $5 bill or a $10 bill, or if the pastor has a $50 bill, I'll use his. And I'll hide it somewhere up front, and I'll say to the kids, hey, somewhere up front, there's a $50 bill, and whoever finds it can keep it. Go. And they come, and they tear up the piano, they turn over the plants, they look under everything, and the kid that finds it under the songbook goes, hey, 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 and he's running around there going, oh, man, and he's happy. How many of you understand when a child wants something, they'll go after it? If they believe, it's worth it. Here it says, if thou searchest for it as for hid treasure. Never underestimate the importance of the child's own volition. Parents, they watch your kid and they turn out to be a sinner and they go, we hatched a pagan. Hey, look, maybe they take after your wife's side of the family. I don't know. Wouldn't you like to blame everybody else? But look, our children are sinners. And they're going to have to choose for God Almighty themselves and never underestimate that there are no secondhand Christians. They have to want it for themselves. If thou searchest for it as for hid treasure. Yes. You're the best. Now, I need somebody who can spell.
I can't spell.
To fill out the word knowledge. Please. No, come right in. Hear me. The three words that are talked about, look what it says. Hey, son, you've got to look for knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge and understanding and wisdom are not the same words, but they're related. Knowledge is the facts. I know this is made out of wood. I know this wood is red oak. I know that that's a light. I know that that's a video screen. I know that's a door. Now, if you're blonde, you think that's magic. But it's not. There's really a power plant someplace with big wires coming into the building, and then there's a wire secretly hidden in the wall, and it goes from here to there, and this is just interrupting the circuit, and there's little electrons making the bulb shine. It's not magic. Knowledge is the facts. Knowledge is, hey, that's a fire hydrant. It's made out of cast iron. This is my leg, and it is not. The facts. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Shocking. It's in Michigan along the Grand River at a spot where there's a rapids. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Oh, it makes sense. Black River Falls is a falls on the Black River. Stevens Point is a point in the river where the Stevens family built a house. Our children need to understand knowledge. A wise man seeks knowledge. They should never be permitted to despise education. This, oh, that's boring. Oh, I'll never use this. Oh, that's ridiculous. You don't know what you're going to use. Education is putting money in the bank that you can draw out your whole life. Having a good education is foundational, and they need to seek knowledge. Never permit it. No other country ever has this happen. I don't get math. Why do I have to study math? This is stupid. I never. And then the parent will say, yeah, I never liked math either. I was no good at that. Just, here, look at the answer key and just fill it in. You'll never use it. No other nation. Nobody in India talks like that. Nobody in China talks like that. Nobody talks like that. Except Americans. They should have a respect for every discipline of education. Son, seek knowledge. The second word is understanding. Knowledge, it does. You know, you can get it from books, you can get it from teachers, you can get it. But understanding is almost completely the province of the parents. Understanding is how things work together. Hey, this is a cigarette. That's a fact. This is cancer. That's a fact. But cause and effect. This leads to this. Understanding the world around them, that light switch works because. That's almost exclusively the province of the parents. Hey, teaching them cause and effect. You know, Hey, it's if you think about deeds have consequences. This is, of all things, a divine truth. When you're little and you're in a high chair and you slap that bowl of Cheerios like that and it spills cereal and milk all over your mother, it starts with a slap on the hands. You will not do that. By the time you get to kindergarten and you keep jumping up and up and down and you keep interrupting and the teacher says, okay, Freddie, you're getting a worm in your apple. And if you get three worms in your apple, you're not going to get to go to recess. Right? Deeds have consequences. It's a lifelong lesson. Understanding what they do has an effect. That is a fire hydrant. This is my leg. If I walk into the fire hydrant, I'm going to leak blood. Deeds have consequences. More than that, in fifth grade, if he keeps coming late, sixth grade, they smart off to the teacher, pull the girl's hair, they have to go to the office. And they get disciplined. Or, you know, in all of life, isn't this true? By the time they're 16, hey, let's see, you can't come in at night. You didn't show up where I told you, so I'm not letting you get your driver's license for an extra year. They get their license. Now they have another authority. Guys in blue. You can't obey a stop sign. You can't obey a speed limit. Then this guy pulls you over and talks to you. And he gives you a piece of paper that costs you money. And after the third time, now you have another authority. You stand in front of a guy who's behind a big wood desk, and he's got a black robe on, and he chats with you. And he says, hey, apparently you're a slow learner. Apparently you don't get this. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take you and put you in a cage. And we're going to start over with you. We're going to, here's where you sleep. And here's what you're going to eat, and you don't get to vote on it. And then here's what you can watch on TV, and we'll control the channels. And you can go potty right there. And we're going to not even put a door on the bathroom because we want to watch and make sure you're learning right. And you say, you should have learned this when you were three. But you're slow, so we have to teach you over again. You're going to get along with your friends, or we're going to put you in a hole where the sun doesn't shine. Right? Isn't that true? Deeds have consequences. Now he gets married. Do deeds have consequences in marriage? Right. You don't get to say, hey, my dream boat turned into a barge, and have that all go well. Right? Deeds have consequences. You got a job. You don't get to come whistling and take this job and shove it. You don't get to do that. The boss says, hey, you're late. Oh, no, I'm not late. I never intended to come at 7. 9 is a good start time for me. You don't get to do that. Right? You own your own business. Does it matter how you treat your customers? Does it matter how you treat your underlings? Deeds have consequences. All of that is meant by God Almighty as a huge arrow pointing straight to heaven and the white rainbow circle throne of God that says, someday you're going to give account for the deeds done in your body. It's not a big shock, shock. Oh, my goodness, I had no idea. You mean somebody's keeping the records? You mean all the stuff I did, I'm going to answer for? You mean? Yes, and you were told that from the time you were one with that little bowl of Cheerios. Deeds have consequences. That's a bottle of beer. That's drunkenness. That's a car accident. That's a leg amputated. Deeds have consequences. You get drunk. You lose your license, you lose your vehicle, you lose your job, you lose your family, you lose your self-respect. Deeds have consequences. Our children need knowledge. Hey, where's my secretary? They also need understanding. Knowledge and understanding are related, but they're not the same thing. The third word that you find in verses 2, 3, and 4 is wisdom. Now, wisdom, again, is a related word, but it's not the same word. Wisdom is making right decisions in light of what I know and understand. Hey, that's a fire hydrant. This is my leg. If I run into it, I leak blood. Wisdom, I'm going to walk around the fire hydrant. That's a cigarette. That's cancer. Wisdom, I'm not going to smoke, and I'm just making that choice. Deeds have consequences. That's a backseat of a car. That's a boyfriend. That's a baby out of wedlock. I choose not to do it. I'm saying, well, right, if you're talking to your son, listen, I'm not always going to be here. I'm not your conscience, but God and the Bible and the Holy Spirit will be a constant. Here's what's right and here's what's wrong. Right is right even if nobody's doing it. Wrong is wrong even if everybody's doing it. There are moral absolutes. Wisdom says, let's make right choices. Wisdom is what we're trying to get our children. Look, just having them spit back. I don't know. I don't do that because my dad said I shouldn't. Listen, we're trying to develop critical thinking skills in our children. If they don't, they'll be the first one sucked off into a cult by the most persuasive speaker. We ought to just understand that knowledge built on, and then understanding, and then wisdom. Here's what I want for you. I want you to have the capacity to make choices that are wise. Now, how many of you would agree with me that just knowing right from wrong is not the same as doing right from wrong? Right, where does the battle line really fall? Hey, once you know right from wrong, you still have to perform it, right? So would it shock you that verse 6, 7, 8, 9 addresses this? Watch what it says. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. By the way, did you write wisdom? What are you? You're pretty slowed out back there. Come on, girl, help me. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom, watch what it says, for the righteous. He is a buckler to who? To them that walk. Look at that word. Walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Son, I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have understanding. I want you to have wisdom. But then I want you, see, making a right decision here leads to another right decision, another right decision, and now you're in the right way. And if you do it long enough, you're in the right path. And he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. If you want God on the scene to help you, you're going to face challenges. I don't care. Your grandmother's going to die, then your parents are going to die. You're going to have a disappointing relationship with somebody you thought you were going to marry, and that'll crumble. And when you go through the vagaries of life, you can do it alone or you can do it with God on your side. But when you learn to walk with the Lord and obey the Lord and follow the Bible, when you go through those and you take your turn, you have God as your buckler, as your resource, as your strength. Everybody, the Bible says of the heathen, on their part there was no comforter. It's not like if I'm a Christian, I'm exempt from problems. You're going to have problems. They might be different. But the difference that we have is, the benefit we have is, the Lord helps us through it. He either protects us. Look, think of this. Think of this as a giant oak tree. And over here is a little vine climbing up. And wow, the prevailing winds come from this way and they blow against the tree, and that oak just stands there. It blows from this direction, and that oak just stands there. And hiding behind the tree is this little vine, just sheltered and protected and blessed. And that's most of life. But sometimes, even the best Christian has the wind blow from this way sometimes. This morning, brokenhearted missionary family I know, 8-year-old girl, terminal leukemia. I wish it never happened. I wished I could tell you that it's all roses. It's just not. But when the wind blows this direction, all it does is drive that vine closer to the tree. And that tree is still there. You're shielded most of the time. And in the time you have to endure, at least you have something to hold you up when you go through it. Slip down. Would you agree with me? Okay, we're going to teach them right, and they have to know and understand and make wise choices. Then they got to walk uprightly. How many kids have been raised in our churches? I don't even know what time it is. we'll be done by 9:15 in Hawaii. How many kids at 14, 15, and 16 started to drift out of our churches, and by 17, 18, and 19 are gone? And if you talk to any parent of children, they will say, in their life entered a companion, a friend, an influence, an activity, and they chose the wrong crowd. We all like to be liked. We all like to be admired. The Bible talks about, so is a man to his prey, he's like a moth to the flame. Hear me, would it surprise you that Solomon says, now, son, look, I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have understanding. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to seek it. I want you to desire it. And then I want you to live it. I want you to walk it. But listen, I don't care if it's your kids or my kids. Eventually, there's going to be somebody else in their life besides mom and dad. And they're going to choose who those companions are. So would it shock you that the center heart of this chapter, it says verse 12 and verse 16, to deliver. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. And now it describes him. From the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Hey, son, listen to me. Not everybody out there is rotten and wicked, but there are plenty of them who are. We had a girl in our church. She was raised in our church, and I was youth pastor, and I was preaching hard against the sins of the world. And after she graduated, she got a job at a dry cleaner's. And she came to see me, and she said, Pastor King, you didn't give an accurate picture of what's out there. I was so afraid that everybody was going to try to molest me. Everybody was going to cheat me and lie to me. I'm working for some lost Catholics, but I'm required to wear a uniform that's modest. I'm required to speak respectfully to every customer. I'm required to be there 5 minutes before we open. I'm required to keep the environment clean. I'm required to make the right change and count it back double. I'm required to greet them when they walk in and to give them a dismissal. Thank you for coming. Hope to see you next time. She said, I don't know I mean, I'm just working for some lost people, but they're not vile and wicked and rotten. And no, listen, remember, we still have all the vestigial organs in this country of uprightness that was taught to generation after generation after generation, and we still get to benefit from some of that. Don't ever tell our kids that everybody's a liar, everybody's a cheat, everybody's a crook, everybody's going to rape them. That's not true. It's just not true. But they need to know there are those who would harm them. And Solomon says, to deliver thee from the froward man, the crooked man, the dishonest man. Do you want your kid protected from that? I do. I do. That matters to me. Let's see. Take the average teenage boy. If he has the right guy companions, you think he's still in danger if he has a wrong girlfriend? Right? To deliver thee, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Doesn't that go unto her return again? Need to take a hold of the paths of life. It always amazed me. Take a bunch of teenagers to youth camp. The girls from his church know he's a six-time loser, and whenever he gets around, they go, ah, ah, ah. But he gets to camp, and some girl from a different church goes, oh, look at that boy. Listen, the people that know him best don't respect him. You ought to be careful. The girl, my daughter is a very modest, sweet girl, and she went to school. She's blonde, and her best friend all through school was a dark-haired girl, and so we called him Salt and Pepper and all that. And well, they got to be 15 or 16, and this girl started wearing tight sweaters, low-cut necklines, see-through tops, all kinds of, and she'd get around boys and she'd get real close to them and talk soft with well within their personal space. She would flirt any guy that walked in that had legs near the bottom of his body and eyes near the front of his face. She was on the move. And my daughter, of course, withdrew from her. And one day I said to my daughter, she was sitting at home, she hadn't a boyfriend, and this girl had 10 of them. And I said to Tara, does that bother you that she gets all the attention? All the friends, all the popularity, your relative obscurity? And she said, oh, not at all. She said, I could be like her any day I wanted, but she can never be like me. I could be like her any day I wanted, but she can never be like me. Our children need to see that. Listen, as you get older, your choice of companions, your choice of a mate is an infinite decision that's going to greatly impact. When an airplane takes off, and if it's just 2 degrees off course, he ends up out in the Indian Ocean someplace if you don't make corrections, right? It looks small at first, but where that goes is big trouble. And so he says, my son, look, seek after knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Search with all your heart. Make it your passion to get those things. Then walk uprightly. Then remember, these things will deliver you, protect you from the froward man and from the strange woman. It gives a description of how intoxicating evil can be, how enticing it can be. But that's how we get to verse 20. It says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright. I read every verse except one, and we need our secretary back here. I skipped one word on purpose. There's a verse, we skipped one or two, but we've read the whole chapter. But the crown of this is verse 10, 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, verse 11, discretion is the last word. Discretion. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Discretion. Again, a related word. The Bible uses the term walking circumspectly. The Bible uses the word prudence, to be discreet, chaste, right? Those are Bible synonyms. But discretion is the crown. This, if I could just take it and take a quart jar of it and put it in this guy, my ultimate goal, I want him to have knowledge, in every realm. I mean, look, I was raised as a farmer. I know how to take care of animals and crops and Alice Chalmers tractors. I went to school for mechanical engineering. I'd studied aviation and medicine. Who knew? Who knew? I'd pastored a church that had farmers and pilots and engineers and doctors. Don't say you'll never use it. I have zero tolerance for those that have a premium on ignorance. Get a good education. But then get understanding. Understand the world around you. Not everybody has pure motives. Not every choice has good endings, right? Then have wisdom. Make the right choices. But discretion is a level above all of that. Because discretion makes the right decision ahead of time. I don't have to wait until I run into the fire hydrant to decide whether or not to walk around it. Here's discretion. I noticed they only have fire hydrants on one side of the street. If I walk on this side of the street, I never run into a fire hydrant. Or at the very least, I'll walk close to the buildings and my wife can walk close to the terrace so she walks into the fire hydrants. Okay, I was kidding. Knowledge, that's a cigarette, that's cancer. Understanding, that might lead to premature death. Wisdom, I'm not going to smoke. Discretion, I'm not going to work in a place where everybody's smoking. I'm not going to date a guy who's trying to get me in the back seat of a car. I don't make that decision at 17 when he's trying to grab me by the wrist. I make that decision when I'm 12 at youth camp. You see, I didn't have to decide whether or not I was going to get drunk last night. I have the money. I'm 21 and over. I could have. I chose not to. But I made that decision a long time ago. Discretion. I'm making. We say circumspect is the way a cat walks around a bonfire. Do you ever have a bonfire out on a farm and they got farm cats? A cat's got fur. Watch how he walks around that fire. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to see how close I can get to that. See if it'll singe the left side. No. Discretion says, I'm going to walk as far away from that. I have no intentions of being involved in that. What we want for our children, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if they had discretion that says, I don't have to worry about those choices. I'm making them now. And then it says, to deliver thee from the way of the froward man, to deliver thee, verse 16, from the strange woman. Why? Because what we said was our goal, what we would want for our children, is that precious verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright. Is that your prayer for your kids? Listen, this is an absolute goldmine of information for parenting. Can't tell you how much I believe every syllable of what I've told you today. And I'm just begging you, listen, this is not some surprise. We want our children to know this. This is our stated goal for them. If God would be pleased and we would have our prayers answered, that's what we want for them. When I'm dead and gone, so far, every one of my children's been saved, every one of the grandchildren old enough to be saved, and everyone that surrendered for baptism has been baptized in a fundamental Baptist church. We're not home free, but they're starting to embrace what's precious and important to me. And I hope it's that way with you as a parent. Listen, these kids are a sacred trust, and they need candid talk, and hopefully from us instead of some other source. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the scriptures. Bless our time in the morning service, we pray. Bless these young people. Lord, do an unusual thing. These sweet young people, especially in the front row here, would you put your arms of protection around each young person in the audience today? And Lord, give them knowledge, give them understanding, give them wisdom. And Lord, wow, we'd be happy. We'd give you a lot of praise if you could help them get discretion. Discretion is what will preserve them. Would you grant it? We make our prayer in the name and through the blood of our Lord Jesus. Amen.